News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
But now let's talk about the new government. Obviously took office on Saturday. We are joined by Michael McGrath, Minister for Public Expenditure. Minister, first of all, congratulations on your new appointment. I do want to talk to you about the issues that pertain to your department, because obviously lots of those, and the economy is crucial at the moment. But just a couple of political issues just to get out of the way. First of all, the regional imbalance, this issue of the regional imbalance. We're going to be talking to your constituency colleague Simon Coveney in a few moments. You've got three cabinet members in your constituency, none along the Western Seaboard.
Good morning to you, Shane, and thank you very much for your good wishes. The Taoiseach had an extraordinarily difficult set of decisions to make in forming a cabinet, and obviously three different parties were involved in that process as well. But I think the important point is that both Minister Dara Cailleary and Minister Hildegard Nocton will be attending cabinet and will be fully participating in all discussions and policy making at cabinet level. And I think, as Eamon Ryan rightly pointed out on Saturday, and I'm somebody who has never sat at cabinet, but he made the point that, you know, you don't get votes at cabinet because you try to reach a consensus. They will be at the table, yeah, representing their constituencies, representing their regions, and their say, as far as I'm concerned, will be equal to the say of any of the rest of us. So the west of Ireland, the Midwest, and that whole region will be fully represented. And he also would make the point, between the three parties, we have deputies in every constituency in the country. We have hundreds of councillors. None of those people will be shy in holding us to account for the decisions that we make. Those of us privileged to serve in this government will be serving the entire country. Okay. And that is unequivocal.
A lot of irritation in Fianna Fáil that Dara Cailleary didn't make it into cabinet. He'd be a very popular figure. What would you say to those people?
He is a very popular figure, and he's a great colleague, and he has a huge role to play in this government. The position of Chief Whip is, I believe, increasingly important. There will be major reforms needed in the way that Dáil does its business, and he will be at the cabinet table. And I don't need to tell anyone who knows Dara that he will be a vocal advocate for his region, for rural affairs, and I look forward very much to working with him.
Okay, let's talk about your portfolio. The lead story of the Irish Times say cabinet plans multi-billion euro economic package. You're the man with the purse strings. What can we expect in this package?
So after this interview, I'll be going over to the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform to meet the Secretary General and hopefully the officials, and start the process of getting briefed on what are the main issues on the desk that need to be dealt with. I think we all know that the number one issue, apart from dealing with the ongoing health crisis, and COVID-19 has not gone away, is the whole of government approach that will be needed now to rebuild the Irish economy. And so what we have committed to in the programme for government is that we will hit the ground running, and in the next number of weeks, in the month of July, there will be a significant jobs initiative. We need to discuss the composition of that, but within the programme, you know, we signalled that the issues that will need to be looked at include improving the existing supports for small and medium sized businesses, the working capital schemes. Can we do more in relation to grants? We need to clarify and set out a roadmap for the future of the wage subsidy scheme, which, as you know, is critical for the survival of many businesses. And as so many different parts of the economy reopen today, you know, it's like taking a bandage off a wound. We will only begin to see how it has healed, and there will be businesses that won't reopen today, some because they will wait and see how things evolve, and others because they're facing perhaps fundamental viability issues. So the picture is emerging. We will respond to that, and at cabinet meeting this afternoon we will have an initial discussion on that jobs initiative and what might be in it.
Okay, that all sounds very reasonable. For those SMEs, those businesses reopening today, like, what kind of supports can you promise them? Because it's a tricky one, because, you know, lots of calls for grants to business and so on. You don't want to be propping up uneconomic businesses. Unfortunately, that is the reality. How do you get that balance right?
Well, I think we do need to step in and support the economy, and we need to support businesses, and we need to support workers. And a lot has been done in that regard already. And I think we need to build on that. You know, the reason why we have over a million people on unemployment support or having their wages subsidised by the state is because the economy was essentially shut down.
It was.
And we are now beginning to see, you know, the extent to which there will be legacy issues from that. And there will be. I am confident that the Irish economy will recover. I think it has great capacity, great flexibility, very significant advantages. It will recover, but it will require support, and we are determined that the approach of this incoming government will be investment led. We are going to stimulate the economy. That's not to say that there won't be difficult decisions to be made over the course of the life of the government. I acknowledge there will. We're facing a monumental challenge, but our priority is to support the economy. That is what is needed. And I think
support
that's what
in
expect.
Terms of grants for businesses, is that on the table?
So those are the very issues now that we need to discuss, and that work has already been underway in preparatory form at official level, and a whole series of options have been prepared. And now that we have a government in place, decisions will need to be made. There is also a backlog of legislation that is directly relevant to small business, including the new €2 billion credit guarantee scheme that needs to be enacted and put into effect. The warehousing of tax liabilities without penalties or interest, a massive issue for small business. That needs to be enacted and put on a statutory basis. But we are going to be directly looking at the working capital schemes, the cash flow, which is the oxygen that businesses need, and also the future of grant supports, the wage subsidy scheme, commercial rates, and many other issues. Okay. So it's a huge undertaking.
Minister, I'm conscious that you may not have seen this story, and it might be unfair to put this to you, but I don't know if you're aware of the story in the Irish Times today about AIB halting lending to wage subsidy recipients. I don't know if you've seen that story today. Are you concerned by that, or is it kind of understandable if a bank is saying, well, given that people's circumstances have changed, we have to take that into account?
I am aware of that issue. It has been brought to my attention by mortgage applicants in recent weeks who had mortgage approval, as they saw it, approval in principle. But then when they went about drawdown, the brakes were pressed by the institution on the mere fact that the people were part of the wage subsidy scheme, even though in many cases their income was completely unaffected. It's an issue I've raised when I was in opposition with the Governor of the Central Bank directly in recent weeks, and with the Banking and Payments Federation. The banks would argue that they have to reassess the capacity of the borrower to repay, and that the wage subsidy scheme is and of itself not a permanent feature. But look, for me, the key issue is if the affordability of the mortgage is unaffected, then those mortgages should be honoured. And that is an issue that we will obviously discuss as a government with the relevant stakeholders.
You'll be making that viewpoint known to the banks?
Absolutely. That is my view.
Okay, all right. Just in relation to a final issue I do want to ask you about, public sector pay. Obviously, there's a new pay deal to be negotiated. Now, look, I don't want to make this into private sector workers versus public sector workers. A lot of public sector workers have done very important work over the last few months. But we are in a new climate. Like, for example, the 2% that's due in, I think it's in October, will that be paid by the government, the 2% pay rise?
So we are in an entirely changed climate. There's no question about that. And we also recognise the hugely valuable role that our public servants have played in the last number of months. There will be a need for a new public service pay deal. The current one expires later this year. And I think it's important that we have stability around the issue of public pay policy. So I look forward to getting a briefing starting this morning on that issue and engaging with the public sector unions in the weeks ahead in a spirit of collaboration to see out the end of the existing agreement and to negotiate a new one.
And sorry, did you say that 2% would be paid?
So in the course of the negotiations, the current Taoiseach, Micheál Martin and the Tánaiste would have written back to different party leaders. That was one of the questions raised and they indicated that that would be paid.
Okay. Michael McGrath, Minister for Public Expenditure, thanks indeed for coming into us and best of luck in your new role. Okay, let's stay in Cork South Central because we are joined by the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney. Minister, I want to ask you about the same question I put to your constituency colleague, Michael McGrath. This fact that there's no ministers along the Western Seaboard, is that a problem?
Well, look, I mean, first of all, I think the three leaders had a very difficult task in trying to balance gender regional spread, and then obviously trying to match people to individual portfolios. The second thing I'd say in relation to the criticism that there isn't enough people around the cabinet table from the west of Ireland, you know, from my experience, it's the people sitting around the cabinet table, not necessarily people with full ministries, that are very much relevant in terms of discussion around the cabinet table. And, you know, knowing Derek Leary well, knowing Hildegard Nocton well, knowing Heather Humphreys well, who will see herself certainly as a voice for border counties, including Donegal, you know, I think there will be a strong voice from the west of Ireland and from border counties around the cabinet table. And, you know, I think when you see the ministers of state being appointed this week, I think you'll also see a strong emphasis from the west of Ireland as well.
The priorities for the government, I mean, you hear a lot of talk with American presidencies of the first 100 days. Is it very important to hit the ground running for this new administration? What are your priorities, do you think, in those first 100 days?
Oh, God, yeah. Look, I mean, there'll be no slow start to this government or honeymoon period, I can assure you. It'll be full on from the start. You know, we're going to prepare now a July stimulus package for the economy. I suspect that Leo Varadkar in particular is probably already planning for that in the jobs portfolio. From my perspective, I'll be bringing a new memo on Brexit to Cabinet within the next few weeks, certainly before the end of July. And as we speak today, there are 20 UK negotiators on their way to Brussels for the next round of Brexit negotiations, which are due to intensify this week. So, you know, there are big issues that this government needs to tackle quickly. The Taoiseach, I think, has indicated that this is going to be a very busy summer for this government. And so I think this will be full on from the start. And so it should be, you know, because Ireland has been through an extraordinary amount of disruption and trauma and tragedy for the last 10 weeks. Today, we're seeing the economy open up again, and to all of the pubs and restaurants and hairdressers and businesses that are opening today, you know, it's an exciting new start for them. But it's also a very pressurized time for so many businesses. And of course, many people who haven't had a chance to get back to work yet because of the disruption of COVID-19 expect this government to perform for them and to stimulate an economy that can get us back to full employment as soon as possible. So, yeah, this will be a government that starts at full speed from day one. And that's why we have a cabinet meeting today.
One other question before we get to Brexit. The issue of, I suppose it does pertain to your portfolio, this issue of foreign travel possibly reopening to some degree on July the 9th with this green list of countries. Reports today in the paper suggesting maybe a little bit of reluctance on government to go with that July 9th date, and certainly reluctance in ENFIT to have people travelling abroad on holidays. What's your take on that? Do you think people should be travelling abroad on holidays? Are you minded to pushing back that July 9th date for reopening? Or what's your take?
You know, what people are looking for from government is as much certainty as we can give them. Mm. And so we've set the July 9th date as a date to be able to give people guidance as to what are the safer countries to travel to. Because at the moment, the travel advice is very clear. Don't travel anywhere abroad unless you absolutely have to. Some countries are a much higher risk than others in terms of COVID-19. And I think what you'll see from the government is finalizing a criteria that can actually make the assessment. What are the safer countries in the European Union, the countries that have similar risk levels to Ireland to travel to? The approach I think the government will take is to then remove the requirement for a 14-day quarantine or isolation when you come back from those locations versus the other locations that remain a significant risk, where we'll continue to ask people to self-isolate when they come home. So, you know, people have referred to that as a green list, if you like, within the European Union. I think we should try to do that by the 9th of July. But of course, we've got to take NEFID's advice on board to make sure that we are not raising risk levels significantly of importing this virus back into Ireland when we've taken, you know, such such significant measures to try to get it out of Ireland. And we have such low levels now of positive tests and, thank goodness, of fatality. People don't want to see this back in a major way. And we need to be cautious in relation to international travel. But at the same time, we also need to take note of what is happening across the European Union and to make sure that Ireland is consistent with that.
Okay. Will you travel abroad on holidays this year, or will you holiday at home?
No, I'm holidaying at home this
year. Okay, all right.
I'm heading to Shirkin Island, I'm glad to say.
Oh, lovely. Nice part of the world. Now, Brexit. How optimistic are you, or are you optimistic, that a hard Brexit can be avoided?
Well, look, it's my job to be optimistic, but then to back that up with finding a way to solve problems. I mean, Brexit is an extraordinary challenge for Ireland, as it has been from the start, really. And what we need to do before the end of the year is we need to put in place with our negotiators and colleagues in the EU task force led by Michel Barnier and also our friends in London, a way of avoiding a no-trade deal Brexit, which would essentially mean that from next January on, we would be trading with the UK on the basis of World Trade Organization terms. Over the last four rounds of negotiation, which has been over the last 10 weeks or so, really there's been no progress made between the EU and the UK side, effectively because they're looking for completely different things. So it's very hard to make progress when that is the background. And unfortunately, the British government has simply moved away from the political declaration that they signed only 6 months ago. And the UK has effectively tried to rewrite the rule book on that negotiation, which has been a huge problem. I'm hoping that's going to change this week. The British government has indicated that they want to intensify negotiations through July. So let's wait and see where it goes. On the actual implementation of the existing legal agreement, which is the withdrawal agreement on the Northern Irish Protocol, that's a little bit more positive, but there's a lot of work to do between now and the end of the year for the Irish government to protect Irish interests. But this is complex. It'll be difficult. I don't think it'll be done through the summer, although I hope we'll make some progress through the summer. I think this will come to a head in October. And as ever, during the Brexit negotiations, will probably involve a huge amount of pressure and probably a standoff. And it will require good politics to find the way through that can be acceptable to all sides.
We will leave it there. Minister for Foreign Affairs and indeed Minister for Defence, Simon Coveney, thank you indeed for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.